91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. When you start looking at summer camps, it becomes clear you have lots of options, from the traditional overnight camp with outdoor activities and crafts to etiquette camps, science camps, and more. We're going to talk about camp options, and then in the second half of the program today, we'll hear about Cincy Sings, a local choir competition. But first, joining me to talk about summer activities, 4C for Children Education and Outreach Coordinator Shelley Nelson, co-founder of CampFinder.co, J.B. Woodruff, and psychologist Stephen Gray Wallace. He's director of the Center for Adolescent Research and Education at Susquehanna University. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good afternoon.
Glad to have everybody here today. I thought a good way to start was really just identify the varying types of camps, because I think people, maybe from their own childhood, especially if you happen to be over 40, you remember basically some outdoor camps and those sorts of things. But that's really broadened these days. What are some of the options available now that people may not be aware of? Shelley, you want to start?
Well, I can definitely start with the traditional childcare camps. In the childcare settings, when there's a school-age program, a lot of times they'll set up summer camp options for those parents. Typically, there's a charge involved, and they do different activities, different theme-related things. And they also usually go outside of their environment. To the park, to the zoo, to, you know, Kings Island, different things like that. So that's definitely one summer camp option.
JB?
Yeah, so at Camp Finder, we're trying to list all camp programs available, tri-state and beyond. We started in March, and we are I spent some time last night looking at what kind of camp programs are available around the Cincinnati area. And I was amazed, even though I've personally looked at all of these programs as we put them on the site, I went back in and I saw such a variety of camp programs that people can really do in the city. So you see your traditional day and overnight camps where you picture, you know, doing archery and canoeing and hiking. But it's so much more today. There's a lot of camps around education that go from increasing your ability to do math, doing programming, video game programming, inventing, where you're doing prototyping. Then you have some camps that are farm-based where you're shearing sheep and learning how to milk cows. There's even a camp in town that has you learning how to play the ukulele. So it's amazing what you have. We've partnered with some circus camps. There are camps that are really helping people in any way that you could imagine. I mean, chess camps, it's amazing. And that's what our site's really all about, is providing that ability to look for those camps for people.
Stephen?
Yeah, you know, as JB indicated, the summer camp industry, if you will, has really exploded in all kinds of really interesting ways, going from, you know, those sort of traditional camps that you mentioned, you know, we probably all remember from our youth, into very specialized programs of the type that JB was referencing. So sports camps and arts camps and academic camps and computer camps, technology. There are so many offerings for families now.
Shelley, there's also camps even for kids with special needs. Is that right?
Yes, there definitely are.
And so you can look up those. And I guess as people are looking to find the camp, what should they be looking for? And Stephen, maybe you can start for us. What should they be assessing? What kind of camp do you think they should look for? What things should they look for as they're assessing their child and what might be best for them?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the first thing I would say is it's important to have the child involved in that process. So, you know, we recommend that it not just be the parent doing the investigation and the homework, but involving the child right from the get-go, because we know that ultimately that will help the child adjust to whatever camp they end up at. The second key point is to look for accreditation by the American Camp Association. Everybody should ask, are you accredited by ACA? And if the answer is no, they should ask, why not? Accreditation from the American Camp Association ensures a certain level of safety, quality, screening, health services, all on down the line. There's an extensive accreditation process, and so that is a great bellwether of a good camp.
And I would just like to add to that, to follow your children's interest. Each child, he was mentioning a ukulele camp, a farm camp. There's so many different options out there for the children that I think it's really important for the parent to ask the child, what are your interests, and really kind of play on those interests for the camp.
What if there are siblings? Should the siblings all go to the same camp? Should you all go to different camps?
I think there again, it's really going to depend on what the interests are. You may have even twins. I know of twins that one likes soccer and one likes cheerleading. So I see no problem in, giving them their own opportunities.
What are you hoping that a camp can bring? What should you be looking for when you're out there looking at the varying camps? And I know, Stephen, you mentioned accreditation, but what other types of things should you be looking for?
Well, I definitely think socialization is definitely the key. We want a community of the learners, leadership, a camp that is going to help these children develop leadership skills along the way.
Stephen?
Yeah, I think staff is really important. How staff are screened, hired, and trained are critical things to look at. There are really five key benefits, proven effective outcomes, if you will, of the summer camp experience. So you want to look, as Shelley said, at opportunities for leadership and team building, academic enrichment, workforce development, environmental stewardship, and health and wellness. Those are the five really positive outcomes of a good summer camp experience.
Now, do people get to rate the camps on your site? JB, or?
Yeah, I think that's actually a nice piggyback on this, because obviously it's great if they say they do all these things and they're accredited and, they've been around for a while or they have a low staff to camper ratio. But the reality is you don't really know how it is until you've been there. So the value that we're trying to add by having Camp Finder is that those parents who have been to a camp can write reviews to really help people out. So I equate it to, if I want to buy a new TV, I can go look at the store and it's going to tell me it does all these great things. But what I really want to do is I'm going to get online. I'm going to go on Amazon. I'm going to look elsewhere and get those reviews, because that's really valuable to me. And I'm going to know more about that camp that way. So we're trying to do the exact same thing.
I want to let everybody know that we have links to everyone's information on our website, WVXU.org. If you're trying to keep up with it all, you can find it all there. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, we'd be happy to hear from you. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And my guest today with a 4C for Children Education and Outreach Coordinator, Shelley Nelson, co-founder of CampFinder.co, J.B. Woodruff, and psychologist Stephen Gray Wallace. He's the director of the Center for Adolescent Research and Education at Susquehanna University. Now, you talk about finding particular camps for particular kids and how you want to look through everything. But one of the big questions always seems to be overnight camp or day camp? How do you know if your child is ready to stay overnight? Stephen?
They'll usually tell you whether they feel that they're ready by watching their social interactions at home or at school. You can get a gauge of that. I direct with two other folks at Cape Cod Sea Camps in Brewster, Massachusetts. We actually have a lot of young people that start out in our day camp program and migrate into the overnight program. And that's a pretty common pattern. If you're in doubt, I would lean towards starting them in a day program and then seeing if they can work their way into a residential program.
Shelley?
I definitely agree with him. I think maybe starting out at like 7 years old and, doing those day camps. And then by the time they're about 12, they've been doing them so long that they're ready to do some of those overnight stays.
Yeah, my co-founder, Brennan Sweeney, actually has two children, and he has a son and a younger daughter. And they actually go to a family camp every summer at Camp Ernst, where they can go as a family and get the experience of the camp. So that really got both of his children into an experience of what a camp is like early on. And his recommendation is exactly what Stephen has been saying as well, is basically saying start out with day camps and then work your way up, and when they're ready, you'll know it because they're going to tell you.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Sarah is calling from Pleasant Ridge. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So my son turns 4 this summer, and he was in preschool this last year, and we loved it. But they do not offer a summer program, and we're hoping to find something for him, maybe a couple days a week, that is more free-form than preschool in camp sense, but where I'm not having a lot of luck finding someone who will take a 3.5 or 4-year-old.
Well, I would like to take the opportunity to tell you that 4C might be able to help you with that. You can call us from 8:30 till 5, Monday through Friday. Our telephone number is 1-800-256-1296, extension 1330. And we have a parent counselor on hand that can talk to you about some things that you're looking for, the location, the programming that you're looking for. If you're looking for half day versus full day, we can help you find a program that would be best suited for your family's needs.
And also your site as well,
Jay? Yes, and Camp Finder does allow you to search. So if you have a specific age that your child is, you can actually put that into our site, and it will list any program that has that age attribute to it.
Sarah, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, our number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. We were talking about the difference between day camp and overnight camp. Stephen, what do you do when you decide, okay, they're going to go with the overnight camp, and then halfway through the phone calls, the tears, do you go get them?
Yeah, we encourage at our overnight camp, first of all, that parents not be in touch with their children for about 7 days, which is very painful for the parents. But it's really important in allowing the child to settle in and start to establish a routine and get to know the other children. We have found that most cases of homesickness are treatable. Occasionally, we have children who just have such a difficult time adjusting that their parents do end up coming and taking them home, but that's the exception to the rule. So I think what's important from a parent perspective is patience and expressing confidence in your child's ability to learn, to cope, and to find the resources they need to have a successful experience.
And maybe one of the things that you might do for your children as you pack and you decide to take what items is they take some things from home that'll help remind them of their family so that they're able to have those in hand when they're having a hard time.
Now, you said something that immediately gave me pause, and that was give them at least 7 days. I would think most camps last about 7 days. Are we talking about a camp that lasts all summer? I mean, do they last that long?
Steve? Yes, our camp has 7-week programs, 3.5-week programs, and 10-day programs. But if it's if they're there for a 10-day program, then we would allow them access to their parents sooner. But the majority of our kids come for basically a month or 2 months.
That seems like an incredible amount of time to be away from the family in the summer. What is the reasoning behind why that's good or not good or?
Well, a lot of our older kids choose to be in the 7-week program. They're, as was pointed out, they're sort of 12 and up, 12, 13. We start a teen leadership program at age 14, which is a 4-summer program. So we have a lot of kids that migrate out of our regular camper population into our teen leadership program. And it's a curriculum-based, requirement-based program. And so they're really busy for 7 weeks. They will tell you that it felt like they were there for a week, even though they'd been there for 7 weeks.
My goodness. And do you have a lot of camps on your site, JB, that last that long?
I would say that the majority of our camps are probably day camps, week-long camps. We do have a few camps that are the multi-week camps that are available as well.
Are there any longer period camps around this area, Shelley?
Not that I am aware of. That doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but not that I'm aware of. That one's pretty long.
And the ones you see that are overnight camps are more in that week range?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As you're setting that up, and I guess, Stephen, one of the things you're talking about, too, is that you're talking about older kids. When you're talking 7, 8 weeks or 7 weeks for your lengthier ones, you said they're mostly in high school?
No, middle school and high school. And we do have elementary school-aged children that stay with us for 5 or 7 weeks.
Wow. I guess as a mother of an 11-year-old, that seems like a long time to be away from my child. But that's a good experience for him. Leslie called from Sharonville and had to hang up, but she wanted to know about camps for kids with food allergies. Are there any camps that cater to children who may have a food allergy and they want to make sure their child is going to be safe? JB, are you familiar?
We currently don't have that listed on our site, unfortunately. We just launched earlier last month officially, so we're this is great feedback for me too, because I think we definitely want to add attributes like that on there so people can search by it. Right now, we don't, unfortunately, so I'm sorry I can't help for that, but hopefully soon we'll get something there for you.
Shelley?
What we do at our camp is we encourage, of course, families to identify any allergies of any sort, including food allergies. On the food allergy side, we work with our dining services to make special meals for kids that have special dietary requirements. We have nut-free dining hall. We have a gluten-free section of self-serve food available at all meals. And so we'll really work with every kid to design a special menu if they need one.
And that's pretty much what I was going to say as well. Any child with a allergy in a summer camp setting would have a medical care plan on hand. And so most center-based programs as well as camp programs are aware of these allergies and know how to handle these children. So,
do you ever encourage that the children go with a friend to camp, or is it more a matter of it's good to just go and meet all new people? Shelley?
We encourage going with a friend. We've had a lot of success in that. It helps with that initial adjustment period. And then it's not uncommon then for those friends to sort of broaden their wings in different ways and start traveling in different circles while still remaining friends from home.
And pulling from my own experience as a child, I did do a summer camp where I went away for a week or two, and I went with my cousin. And it was great because I was a very shy child, and it really gave me the confidence to be able to have someone that I knew at that camp. But then I quickly started being put into different organizations, activities that he wasn't a part of, even at the camp. So I started to get to meet new people, and it really helped that experience for me.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever anything wrong with the buddy system. And that's, what it kind of sounds like, especially if they're new to the overnight camp. I think it would definitely be beneficial.
Getting back to the week camps where maybe you've got a basketball camp here and a theater camp there and a science camp and an overnight camp, an outdoor activities kind of camp. What if you get into it and maybe it is something that you thought was great, that they would love it, but after the first or second day, it's the day camp, they're coming home and they hate it. Is it okay to say forget it, or do you say stick it out, it's only a week?
I think it's really going to depend on the child in the situation. You never want to put your child into a situation where they're just miserable all day long. I would definitely say give it a couple of days. It could be a separation anxiety happening, but they truly, if they're truly just very unhappy, I would definitely talk to the directors of the camp, find out maybe what's going on, if there's, some underlying issue going on as well.
Stephen?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think, you certainly don't want to be in a position where you're torturing your child by refusing to, give them the opportunity to, to be at home or to be with you as a parent. At the same time, again, it's important that we want to express confidence in our children's abilities to handle new situations, to make new friends, to push their way through adversity. And so, particularly as children get older, I think that's more and more important is that resiliency building in kids and letting them know that there's all kinds of experiences in life where we may not always be comfortable at the outset, but, it's important to try. If we've made a commitment to try to live up to that commitment, those are important messages, again, particularly as kids get older and can, get their heads around those sort of abstract concepts.
We're talking about summer camp and summer camp activities today. My guest, 4C for Children Education and Outreach Coordinator Shelley Nelson, co-founder of CampFinder.co, J.B. Woodruff, and psychologist Stephen Gray Wallace. He's director of the Center for Adolescent Research and Education at Susquehanna University. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you, 513-419-7100. You also can tweet us at 917WVXU. We're also on Facebook. You can post your question there, 91.7 WVXU. Deborah from Price Hill called in, and she said there's a camp called Camp Livingston that has overnight camps that are 2 or 3 weeks long. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that one. So apparently that's a local camp. I'm not familiar with that one.
It's not currently on our site, no, but I have heard of it before.
All right, so that's one we can look at.
I should add that the American Camp Association is also a resource for finding the right camp, and there are a number of regional offices of ACA.
Now, do you want your child necessarily to be in a camp nearby? Or, you know, I do have a friend who did send his children away, many, many states away. They lived in Ohio, and the children went to camp in Massachusetts. Is that a good idea, or does it really matter how far away the child is?
Well, I think you really just need to speak to the child about that. You know, if the child wants that out-of-state experience and they're old enough to handle it, I think that's what it really comes down to, is speaking to the child about their interest and what they would like to get out of their camp experience.
Stephen?
Yeah, again, you know, I hate to sound repetitive, but a lot of it, is individual to the child and what they're interested in and how they feel about traveling a distance from home. You know, our camps are on Cape Cod, which is just a beautiful location in New England. There's a lot of things to do. So we get kids from all over the country, and part of the reason that they choose our camp is because kids have the opportunity to go to Boston and walk the Freedom Trail or go on a whale watch. Or experience a camp that's on the water and all that has to offer, including sailing and kayaking and windsurfing and canoeing. And so sometimes parents look for experiences that are just different than what their child is used to in their own community.
Are camps the best way? I remember when I was a kid, of course, it was a different world because my mom was at home, but where you just had your unstructured summer and you did your own thing and you just hung out in your neighborhood with your friends and were forced to sort of come up with activities. Have we lost anything if kids are spending all summer in camp?
I don't know if we've lost anything. I think it's different. But I think nowadays, if you are that child that is not going to camp or a summer program of some sort, you might be one of the only ones on the street that are not. Unlike when we were younger, it was very common for a lot of children to be playing outside together during the day. There's not going to be that socialization and that opportunity for interaction as much.
Stephen?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I'm not sure we've lost anything. I think most summer camps are dialed into the value of play, which is really what you're referring to, and allowing children the time and the space to make up games, to develop what are called non-cognitive skills through the summer camp experience and experiential learning experience. You know, things like creativity and collaboration and flexibility and leadership, all those 21st century skills that will really help them succeed academically and eventually vocationally.
We just had a call from someone. Apparently nobody wants to talk today. They're all shy, but they're worried about the safety of their children in camp, that camps that take place in public parks. She said her child was assaulted in a public restroom. How do you know your child will be safe? JB, do you have anything on the site related to that, or would the reviews indicate that?
I would imagine that a negative review like that would certainly get passed along for someone who really wants to share that with someone. That is also why you would get an accredited camp, because that ensures that there are some background checks that take place for the staff and how well they're trained. So that's something to look for.
Yeah, the accreditation is key to that. I concur with JB. And also checking the laws and regulations of the state that any particular camp is located in. In Massachusetts, we're required by the Commonwealth, a state government, to have every adult on campus, regardless of their role, every year go through a criminal offender background check and a sexual offender background check. And so that's a really important question to ask, is about the screening of those who will be working with the children.
What about the cost of camps? We haven't mentioned that at all. I imagine they can really range from not very expensive to terribly expensive. What do you think the average cost is? What's reasonable to pay for a one-week day camp, for example?
So I can quote at least a statistic from the ACA. The average overnight camp fee is $85 a day. The average day camp is $43 a day. I then looked on our site to see what our price range was, and two-thirds are between $100 and $250.
A day?
For the whole camp.
Okay.
So that could range from a day to a week. It kind of depends on the way the camp is structured. Anything that's going to be over $500, we only have a few, but those, again, are going to be week, multi-week, overnight camps. But there are some free camps as well on our site. I know that the public library here does a free camp in the summer.
Okay. Some of the parks do free camps during the summer as well. But also to add to that, when you think about a child care program, you're thinking about probably between $200 and $250 a week for their summer camp options, as well as possible activity fees that go along with that.
Good. Nuria is calling from Northside. Hi, Nuria. What's your question?
Hi. My child and I go to Spain for 6 weeks this summer. Well, we go every summer. And this summer I'm looking into taking him to an overnight camp that is a 7-day overnight camp at a farm school. It's sort of like the nature area, some farming school. And my son has been to day camps before, and he's been on 7-day camps before at the YMCA here in Cincinnati, also in Spain at tennis camps. And I wonder what your speakers think about a six-year-old going to an overnight camp for 7 days. That's my question.
What do you think, Shelley?
Well, without knowing the child, you know, it's hard to tell because there, again, it's very individualized. And you as a parent, has the child ever spent any time away from you overnight?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he spent time with family members for weekends. He's going to spend 7 days with his father in Florida. Mm-hmm. So he's used to being away from me.
I would definitely. And the child is the one that wants to do this camp?
Yes, he's excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think every parent knows their child the best. And it sounds like a great opportunity for him. I would just do a lot of preparing him for what was going to be coming. And, you know, like I had said before, send some things with him to remind him of home and different things like that. But it's definitely, you know, your choice. So good luck.
Stephen, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, if he's excited about it, that's your biggest indicator that he's probably ready for it. We used to start our overnight camp at age 7 and found that the 7-year-olds, many of them, not all of them, but many of them really struggled. So we actually changed that to age 8. And we have a number of 8-year-olds that are with us for either 10 days or 3.5 weeks and occasionally for the full 7-week session.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are out of time. Nuria, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate it. And thank you all for being here today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
We've been talking about finding a summer camp for your kids with 4C for Children Education and Outreach Coordinator Shelley Nelson, co-founder of CampFinder.co, J.B. Woodruff, and psychologist Stephen Gray Wallace. He's director of the Center for Adolescent Research and Education at Susquehanna University. In a moment, we'll talk about getting Cincy Sings, a local choir competition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.